Merry Christmas!
Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Ribs and Knits podcast. I'm joined by my friend Lydia.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about friendship. Really good, because you're my friend.
Oh my gosh.
We became friends actually in Feb. Yeah. Not even actually, maybe a bit after that. We are classic enemies to friends story.
Yeah.
I didn't like Lydia.
I thought Emily was too intimidating.
And I thought you were a little bit annoying. Which isn't good. We're Christian girls, and yeah, we should have been open and welcoming to
God
each other.
God was probably laughing so much.
He was like, you guys are going to literally be like really close friends.
Yeah.
But it's because you...
And she was just...
And I am maybe... Because basically, when we first met, Lydia was asking me all these questions like about my life that were quite intense. And I was like, no. I'm not telling this girl that I've just met all these things about me. When you were doing it in innocence, you were being lovely.
She
you were just trying to be
afterwards.
A sister in Christ, and I wasn't having any of it. But here we are, really close, and now you know the answers to all those questions.
And I love her.
Because with time, I gave you the answers. Once I knew you were a real one. Mm. But we're going to talk about friendship, how you can be a little better than I was, and how we... You guys can be as good friends as we are. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this is a good verse to start with. I think it's a cringe verse that people love to always bring out. They're like, well, if you want to be my brother, you have to stick closer. Mm. And it's like, okay, bit cringe. But it's a great thing to actually think about with your friends is... choosing them. Because today we're going to give you three tips for being a good friend, and the first one is choosing your friends. Choose your friends wisely, and choose, once you've chosen them, choose them in everything. Like, they come first in situations. You always stand up for them. You are there for them.
Yeah. And you know what, I struggled with the idea of choosing, because I thought that anyone that came my way, we're gonna have to be friends, and it got tiring.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a study that shows that humans are only capable of forming four really deep connections at once.
Yeah.
And I think we should acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Because it gets draining. And I think friendship also takes patience.
Yeah.
You know, like when we start to hang out more, then I was like, actually, I love this about Emily and I relate to Emily about this.
Yeah.
And I think that increased our compatibility.
Yeah. It definitely took us, instead of rushing into being like, what is your deepest, darkest secret?
Yeah.
It was a little bit like, we need to be a bit more like, what's your favorite color? What's your coffee order? What are you allergic to? Like, you have to start with those. We had to start with those things before we rush to your questions, which are like, any secrets? Anything you need to confess?
Tell me everything. Everyone's great. So I think I struggle with like, thinking, oh, you're a good person, so I have to be friends with you.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you're a bad person, so I can't be friends with you. Everyone's great.
They are.
So you need to accept that and realize that you have to strive for more. You know, people who are running at the same pace as you.
Yeah.
In your journey.
Yeah.
To knowing Christ and loving him.
Yeah. A second thing I would say is listening.
Mm.
It's really important that we listen well as friends. You want to listen to ask, not respond. You want to listen to understand, not to have information. And you want to listen to care, not to stir. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. If you're listening, if you're answering before you're even listening, like say Lydia's sat here and she's going, Emily, I just really didn't feel seen yesterday when I was at youth club. It felt really off and the leaders weren't looking at me. They weren't asking me questions. And then I go, but I was seen. Or, oh, I think that's just in your head. I'm not hearing her. I'm not understanding her. I'm listening to respond rather than listening to ask her more, give her more help. Yeah. And then maybe if I listen to that and then go tell someone about it, it's like, okay, you were only listening for information, you were only listening to get something out of me, rather than listening because you care and you love me.
Yeah, it reminds me of our little Bible study that we had, you, me and Taryn, where it said in James 1 verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Yeah.
And I was asking God, like, why did he do it in the sequence? Like, there must have been a reason.
Yeah.
And I felt like God was saying, this is how misunderstanding comes about. When we are slow to listen, but then we're quick to speak, we actually don't hear the other side. And then we fill the spaces with our own assumptions and we lean to our own understanding. And therefore, it gives us more space for us to be angry. And that's how division, in my opinion, is called.
Yeah, starts. Yeah, definitely. Slow, what is it? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yeah.
It's such a good order to use in everything. When, with your parents, with your friends, with yourself. Like, quick to listen to what you say to me. Like, yeah. I'm going to... If you say, Emily, I felt lost yesterday, okay, let's listen. Let's get a cup of tea. Let's sit down and tell me everything that you felt yesterday. And then it's slow to speak. Okay, I'm just listening to you. You have my full attention. Everything you want to say, give it to me. If I just listen, let you get it all out. And then maybe we go through ideas together that we can work things out. But it's a lot about listening. It's really important that I listen to you. And you listen to me.
I think that's the beauty of our friendship, because we think so differently.
Yeah.
And I love to hear like Emily's insight on a lot of things because it's so different to mine. And God has created us all differently.
Yeah.
And it would be so sad if you just think by yourself and just perceive the world by yourselves. That's why we have friendships.
Exactly. I think the third point is serving your friends. In the same way, good deeds are obvious and even those who are not cannot be hidden. Basically, do good deeds. And in friendships, do good deeds. So I might do an obvious thing like, I'm going to buy you a chai. I know she loves chai, so I'm going to buy her chai. Mm. Or I might do something obvious like give you a present or make you a dinner.
Mm.
Or I might do something that is less obvious like make you a cup of tea or offer you some assistance getting something from A to B. I might do something simple like, someone's talking about you behind your back and I stand up for you, and you never know that I stood up for you. Like, you don't need to know that that situation even happened. Like, you just need to be confident that that's going to happen in our friendship. And so serving your friends in all situations, in all that we do, through good deeds, through caring, through listening again, it's very important that we are doing something for our friends. It's not just a, I see you at church and maybe sometimes I buy you flowers on your birthday. That's not a friendship, that's an acquaintance. With friendships, we've got to be doing stuff together. We've got to be hanging out. And in those hangouts, am I serving you in those hangouts? Last night, we made soup. I made soup together. Sometimes we go in for chai together and we'll buy each other a chai. Like, that is serving each other. It's blessing each other. If you say you don't have much money this week, okay, well, if I have that some money this week, well, I'll get lunch today. Don't worry about it. You know, things like that.
I love Jesus and Judas's friendship. The book that I'm reading, The Prodigal God by Timothy Keller, I love this quote where it says, mercy and forgiveness must be free and unmerited to the wrongdoer.
Definitely.
And it just reminds me that friendship is not transactional. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, and yet he washed his feet. Yet he did not publicly expose Judas. And he could have been like, well, Judas.
Hey, boy.
He's going to hand me over and I'm mad.
Yeah, he could have gossiped with all the disciples about how Judas is going to do something to him.
He didn't. He literally didn't. And his life was at stake. And even at the betrayal, when Judas pointed Jesus out, he called him a friend. And I think that really struck me, because that's what friendship means. Like, I love you so much that no matter what she does, like, I still love her for her.
Yeah.
Because I basically have got a glimpse of what Jesus sees in her when he died on the cross. And I think that's what true friendship means, is honouring your friends just the way that God honours them.
Definitely. And the friends that we choose, there's got to be moments where we allow for mess ups. Yeah. It can't be the end of the world. Obviously, if your friend keeps doing crazy things every day, all the time, maybe there's a step back that needs to be taken.
Yeah.
But if once every maybe 6 months, Lydia steps out and leaves a car door open overnight, that's okay.
She did.
But that's okay. Like, we can get over that. We can chat about it, talk it over, be slow to speak and slow to get anger. But that's okay. And I think I love Judas's relationship with Jesus because we are all Judas in our lives. Yeah. There are so many times that we have forsaken Jesus. There's a time where I didn't believe in him. There's a time where I didn't agree with it. There's a time where probably I would have given him over because I don't really believe that stuff. Why do I need to stand up for a guy that I don't believe in? And yet Jesus chooses us every day. And yet Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and yet Jesus will do it all over again. If you were the only person who ever lived, Jesus would still have died on the cross for your sins because he wants that relationship. He wants us close, and his relationship with Judas is our relationship. He will not betray you, as in Jesus. He will not let you come to ruin for your actions. He still will have you come to know God, if that's your path. And that's with our relationships as well. Like, if we know information about our friends, it's not putting them on a pedestal and telling everyone about how bad they are. It's saying, hey, Jesus knew about Judas and he still treated him well. I know that maybe the other day you didn't do something great to me. I'm still going to treat you well. And in maybe a quiet time, we bring it up to each other. There's never a time to embarrass your friends, to stage a thing where your friends get outed. Your friends are your friends, and we can't sin against our friends just because they sinned against us. Jesus never sinned against Judas. He died on the cross for Judas, and he cared about Judas, and he cared about Judas's future and Judas's life, and he still chose for him to be one of his disciples, even though he knew in the future what was going to come. And so yeah, choose your friends, to your friends, and serve your friends. Jesus washed Judas's feet as a servant. I ain't washing your feet, but what can I do for you tomorrow? You know what I mean?
But I think it's also like, going back to like choosing as well, like, because forgiveness comes at a cost.
Yeah.
From me, like if I choose to forgive Emily, it's a cost to me.
Yeah.
And I think that this is why we need to choose our friends, because it is like hurtful.
Yeah.
But I love her so much, I'm willing to look past that.
Yeah.
So if you're friends with like, I don't know, like 300 people, you're going to have to be doing a lot of forgiving.
Like a lot of forgiving. Have you got any advice like for someone who's like, I'm struggling with a friend, or anyone who's struggling with a friend right now?
I would say, look at the way that the Lord loves you. Because I think a lot of the friendships that we are called to on earth is supposed to reflect that. It's not going to be as perfect, but just see, is it pointing you to God, or is it pointing you away from God? Is it giving you clarity, or is it giving you confusion? Is it giving you peace, or is it giving you conflict?
15 minutes. We've been talking
for 3 hours.
No, she could. I feel like I've talked more than you on this episode, which is proud of you. Go on, lads. But something I would say from Lydia, from my friendship with Lydia, what I've learned is that sometimes we mess up and sometimes we're not always the greatest, but the greatest is those who serve, as my dad says every time I leave the house. And in our friendship, I definitely see that you really care, and you'll show up even when the trains are cancelled and things are not going right and you can't find your favorite skirt. She'll still show up. If it's an hour late, she'll show up.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I think from you, I've learned showing up is the most important thing you can do for a friend.
Yeah.
And you always show up. Aww. And that's a great thing.
Love you.
Love you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I say what I love about you?
Go on.
What I love about Emily is that you give time for your friends. You really do. Like, no matter what happens, you always make room for us. You always want to spend time with us. You appreciate me, like, in things that, like, whenever you're going to places, you ask for me. and you ask for your closest friends, and I'm like, wow, you really trust me, and you really are grateful for me. So yeah, I appreciate Emily's humility. I really do.
Thanks, Mom. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
And a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. I hope you're on the good list. Hope you don't get any coal in your stocking.